Well, hello there. It's been a minute. I realize it's been a minute. So I decided to fill you in, catch you up on what's been going on with me. The last episode that I recorded for the Sacred as Fuck podcast was right after I had gotten back from my trip to Costa Rica, the Wild Woman Retreat, all the shit that opened up. And that was October 29th, I do believe, the last episode I recorded, called The Power of the Pussy, was October 29th. Today, as of this recording, I am nearly 1 month later, November 28th. And let me just catch you up with all of the things that have been occurring in my life. So for those of you who are brand new to me, to my podcast, to my work, hello. My name is Kristen Lena. I am the host of the Sacred as Fuck podcast and also the Sacred as Fuck Down and Dirty podcast. That one is where I tell tales of all of the, let's just call them the down and the dirty versions, the dirty version of what's occurring in my life, which means the experiences I'm having with men, my sexual experiences, the lessons that I'm learning from being someone who's single as I go through my divorce. The divorce is not final yet. But I have been dating, aka fucking other people, because really there is no dating right now. I'm good. I don't have the mental or emotional capacity for a relationship, although I am now, and I'll talk about this on the Down and Dirty podcast, which I'm going to record right after this one. I don't have the capacity for an actual, you know, relationship, but I am complete with just fucking people just to fuck. That is, I'm complete with that. So there's like this in-between place where I am looking for someone at the moment who can be a partner with me in my sexual reawakening. So it's not just about the physical piece. I'm not looking for a long-term thing. I'm looking for someone that I can, if you all know the terms, right, in the dating world, it's an FWB. So a friends with benefits, someone that I actually like, someone that I respect, someone that I feel safe with, that I trust, that we are friends first, and we have a sexual relationship as well. FWB, friends with benefits. Not looking for an NSA. For those of you who know, you know. For those of you who don't, NSA is no strings attached. That's like a one and done, fucking leave, fucking run, whatever. That was me back in May, June. Not me right now. 6 months later. Holy shit balls, it's been 6 months. So I'm going to talk about, I'm going to catch up because that podcast over there, the Down and Dirty, is actually a paid subscription. It's a paid podcast. So it's me revealing all the stuff that I'm experiencing in my sex life. And not everybody gets to hear that shit. If you really want to hear it, you pay $4.99 a month. So, and I do some weeding over there as well. The other thing, so the thing that I wanted to talk about is where I've been and what I've been doing. I'm just going to, should have done this. Do not disturb on my phone. So for those of you know, I've been in a conscious uncoupling from my husband, my relationship of 19 years with my husband, the father of my children. Our divorce is all but final. We went through a mediator. We went through conscious uncoupling. We've done the last, sorry. Sometimes I try to like hide that shit, but it might happen because I did have lunch right before I got on here. So I may have some digestive things that are occurring. I'll try to keep them up here and limit them from down here. So I'm right as I say that. Oh my God, you gotta be kidding me. That I'm not gonna subject you to that shit. So we're not fully officially divorced yet. The paperwork has not been submitted, but we're right there at that point. And it is November 28th, 2022. And we just got off of our full week for Thanksgiving. So my kids now have a full week off at Thanksgiving, not just the Thursday, Friday, but they were off for an entire week. And it just so happened that me moving out of my now husband's home and into my own home happened last week. And my first night in my home was Sunday, the 20th, so in November, so 8 days ago. And I just want to say, so the title of this podcast is When Life Gets Hard or Tough or Whatever. When life gets hard, do this. And I like to teach my lessons through story. It just seems like, first of all, it's the most fun way to do it. And second of all, hopefully you can see something for yourself. Perhaps you can relate through story. Story is apparently one of my like secret weapons. I don't fucking know. All I know is I open my mouth and shit comes out. Sometimes that shit is good. For those of you watching on YouTube, I would like you to know that I am in my motherfucking closet. So pause on what I was going to say. And I hope to God I remember what I was going to say and where I was. But I'm just going to give you, I'm actually going to do this, right? So for those of you watching on YouTube, you can see me. This looks like my normal background, right? This is my beautiful tapestry. Okay. This is my beautiful lotus, whatever flower it is. I get so many compliments on it. It's my signature background. But I want to show you where I actually am and why. So I moved into this beautiful new house. And it's actually bigger than the old house, and it has an office. Like, that was a big thing for me. I didn't have an office. I was, it was a 3-bedroom house. So I had my office in one of the bedrooms. But then, you know, I decided to give my youngest daughter, who's 11, her own room. This was probably a year ago, 6 months, a year ago. And so I moved everything into my bedroom, which was huge. That bedroom was the master bedroom, was huge. And I had to put, what the fuck? Here it comes. I had to put my backdrop up. Otherwise, you would see my bed behind me. So I'm in my new house and it's gorgeous. I have this beautiful, I mean, it's beautiful. It's tile floor throughout, except for the bedrooms. And my office is gorgeous. It's like double doors. And I brought this beautiful kind of bougie lamp. And I was like, oh, I'm feeling that vibe. Ooh, girl, that is a vibe. And I'm feeling it. And it was awesome. I'm curating an experience. I'm curating. In this new home, I am committed to feel amazing in this home. Because one of the things I struggled with, and this is part of what I'm going to talk about today on today's episode, one of the most massive things I struggled with was leaving my home. You know, yes, I'm going to miss my kids, but I conceived my kids in that home. I picked out all the paint colors. I decorated it. We put blood, sweat, and tears into that home when we first moved in. We just put fake grass in. Like, it was my home for 16 years. And that was the most devastating. And the reason why is because that's where my memories were made, right? My memories of conceiving my children, and laboring in that home and bringing them home and marking on the wall their growth, you know, as they grew up. Those are those things that, like, even as I talk about it, it's still like I can feel the attachment still, right? So the attachment to the home was really massive letting go for me. And it was probably the thing that I grieved the most. I've been grieving since July, honestly, kind of slowly extricating myself from the home emotionally. And when I found this place, it needed work. And I'm renting. I did not buy a home, not in this fucking market. We live in Arizona. And I'm renting. But I wanted it to be beautiful. I wanted it to be mine and I wanted it to feel unbelievable when I'm in it. And maybe one day I'll like give y'all a tour because it's just beautiful. But I was teaching in my Firestarter program, my business mastermind, and my girls know me and they're like, why is it so echoey in there? And I was like, damn it. So it's wood, you know, it's tile floors. And I'm like, I can't record a podcast episode in this room until I don't even know if I can, because it's big. It's a big room. It's open. And even if I put a rug down, I'm concerned about the sound. And I want the sound to be great for my podcast. So one of my most favorite things about this home, it's so random. It's so fucking random because the entire home is kind of like in a kind of brown, if you don't know Arizona and you know the kind of, the way that they build homes here, it's like tan, like everything's tan here. And I'm like, fuck that tan shit. Like all the light fixtures are like some iteration of tan or brown. And my vibe is like this combination of gray and tan, which is called grayish, beige and gray is grayish. So like a warm gray, like a gray that's kind of grounding and warm. And so I painted the entire house. I had the entire house painted and it's beautiful and I love it. And I feel like home here. And that was what I was the most concerned with. Not only me feeling like I'm home, but my kids feeling like, here you go.
Nah.
See, that's what actually happens. I went off mic just a tiny little bit. I'm going to leave this in the episode. I'm not going to fucking edit this shit out. Because when I talk, you know, I didn't even have like a sparkling water. That usually just gets me all the time. So normally what I do is I either press pause and I burp, or I try to like pretend like I'm not burping. But listen, I'm so fucking tired of whatever, acting like I don't act like I'm perfect, but like, a burp. I'm a human being. And I'm very, honestly, very, very gassy. This is unsweetened chai tea with a little bit of constant common in here. It's so cold here in Arizona. 60. I know all of you Midwesterners are like, fuck you, Kristen. So I start looking through the house and I go into the master bedroom and there is a motherfucking bougie chandelier in here on a dimmer. On a dimmer, no less. Like, what the fuck's happening up in this walk-in closet that they need a bougie chandelier with a dimmer? I don't know. I might be exploring some of that in the down and dirty. I don't know. It could happen in here. So I want to show you what I'm talking about. I'm just gonna move it. I'm just gonna move everything so you can see it. So it's not part of the plan, but you know what? I always go off script. I'm just going to tilt this back so you can see there's the top of my, there's the top of my closet, and look at that. Look it. I'm sorry, but that is gorgeous. I'm like a dimmer freak. Almost every one of my lights in my previous home was on a dimmer because I love it. I love lighting. I love bright light. I love dim light, depending on my mood, depending on what time of day it is. So I'm going to go around and put motherfucking dimmers in here because I am fanatical about my space. Fucking fanatical. And here's why. Here's what I know about that. Space, our space has energies, energetic. There's a vibration to it. There's a sensation or a feeling. Like, what does it evoke in me? My space can evoke a sense of calm and peace. It can evoke excitement. It can evoke a sense of like abundance or wealth. And for the last couple years, and I'm speaking for myself, but I can pretty much guarantee my soon-to-be ex feels the same way. Being in each other's energy, being in each other's space was the hardest. So we lived together for almost, let me just try and keep it like low-key. We lived together for almost 6 months after July, August, 4 or 5 months. I just moved out November 20th. And when you're with someone who you're separating from or you're uncoupling from, you're ending, it's hard. It's hard to be in the same space. And it has nothing to do with him. It has nothing to do with, you know, so I was really committed that this space feel amazing. And I'm in my closet because there's this plush ass carpet in here. I'm going to listen back, obviously, but I'm going to assume that the fucking acoustics are dope in here. Like, I can hear myself and I know that there's no reverb. I know that there's no sound bouncing off the walls. My clothes are in here. I got my beautiful black job hiding all my unmentionables. There's no unmentionables, nothing back there. And then my bougie chandelier. This is like a perfect place to do podcasts. I'm standing. It's awesome. So I'm gonna hook it up and I'm gonna record my podcast in my closet, in my bougie plush carpet closet. Okay. That was just a little backstory. So I think what I was talking about was that I was grieving for quite some time, leaving my home of 16 years. And so I've been kind of slowly pulling myself away from it and making this home really magical and really beautiful has been my top priority. Now, I basically am furnishing an entire house. And for those of you who are divorced and you've been the one to leave, or you know someone who's left, why is my phone? I'm on D&D, bro. It didn't hit. It didn't. Okay. Do not disturb. I'm looking here. My phone buzzing. My apologies, people. So, my house, my space. Recording my podcast in the bougie. Yeah, I might have to cut this part out. Fuck. So here I am. I'm not even on the other side. I'm not on the other side yet. We're not complete. We've been doing the things that have, you know, like we met over the weekend and we discussed the parenting plan. And we're going through mediation, not lawyers. We've always been committed to just working this out amicably, from a place of love and from, you know, wanting the best for each other, but really for our kids. Because let me just fucking tell you all, those of you who are pissed off at your partner, who are hurt and angry and pissed off at your partner, it's going to impact them, your children the most. I mean, point blank, hands down, it's going to hurt your kids the most to be pissed off as you go through this process. And I'm thinking about a very dear friend of mine who is just in hell right now, going through divorce, and it's nasty and it's ugly. And according to him, I always know that there's three sides to any story. And then there's the actual truth, whatever, you know how I feel about the truth. So his version is that, you know, he's really feeling all of his feelings, and he's feeling really shitty about whatever his ex is doing and what she's going to get half his pension. And he has very limited time to see his daughter. And I'm like, God, it's just grow the fuck up, people. Like, it's not about you. Deal with your pain. This is not your children's problem. In fact, you're responsible for your children to not be as impacted as little as possible through this process. So they're going to feel what they feel. I'm going to talk about an instance I have with my youngest here in a second, because it was still with me. It's still with me, and it's hard. They're going to have their own experience of their parents no longer being together, and it's going to be devastating. My husband and I are extremely cordial. Hey, how you doing? You know, what's up? We had a couple sticky points, a couple sticky things around money, and it got tense, and I got scared, and then I said some shit, and then he got scared, and then, you know, there was conversations about lawyers, and I was like, I'm not hiring a lawyer, and then it all happened because we got scared. But we came back to reality, because at the end of the day, it's not fucking about us. It's not fucking about us. It's about our kids. They're going to be scarred no matter what, but I want to take responsibility. I am taking responsibility, as is he, for the damage to them to not have anything to do with what's occurring between he and I. They're going to have it because they're seeing their parents split up, and that's devastating, period. That's devastating. End of discussion. They get to deal with that, be held, supported, loved, nurtured. They get to be supported through that whole thing. Our shit with each other, that's not required. They shouldn't have to deal with that shit. Okay, I'm off my soapbox for at least a couple minutes. So I've had multiple experiences being in my old home by myself. I don't know if I've shared this or not. I've shared it in a couple of different places. Not sure if I've shared it on the podcast, where I've wailed. I have been on the ground. I have been like the neighbors heard me screaming and crying and feeling the depths of my grief on my closet floor, on my living room floor. In my daughter's bedrooms, like if the neighbors heard, they would have thought someone was getting murdered. But here's what I know about that shit. A, y'all know I'm a fucking quadruple Scorpio, so I'm going to go into the depths of my emotions. I don't want to say easier, but knowing full well that I'm going to go into the depths and something beautiful is going to come out of it. It's a gift. And right now it's 22:22, right when I looked up. It's a gift. If we can find the gift through the heartbreak, through the emotional, devastating heartache, heartbreak, grief, we have to go through it, you guys. Like, I believe one of the biggest epidemics that I see occurring out in the world is emotional deferment. It's emotional bypassing. It's, ooh, this sucks. I don't want to feel this. Okay, I'm going to go fuck somebody, eat, binge watch Netflix, do cocaine, smoke a bowl, have some drinks, go play video games, scroll through social media. We all do it. I'm not judging it. I've done it. I do it. I have my glass of wine. Trust me, bitches. This is not from the fucking high horse over here. But as a whole, our society, we are numbed the fuck out. Now, when you wake up to how numbed out we are, it will fucking rock your world. If you haven't actually done any work to dive into the muck of your fucking heartache, if you haven't got like been able to be held through that by someone else, by whatever, a coach, a therapist, a shaman, a priest, if you haven't been able to go through this process of feeling fucking heartache, and you just keep, it's 1:11 here, and you just keep bypassing it and shoving it into corners, this is the fucking legitimate shit that I teach. The fucking core of what I teach is radical authenticity. Feeling what you're feeling when you're feeling it. What? Feeling what you're feeling when you're feeling it. Now, maybe it's not convenient for you to have a fucking meltdown at the 7-Eleven or in your cubicle at your job. Maybe that's not the time. But you better fucking make time for those emotions that well up You better make time for them at some point. What the epidemic that I'm talking about, that I'm seeing in the world, is emotional bypassing, emotional deferment. Like student loans, defer your loans. Don't want to have to pay them off. Defer them. Oh, blah, blah. Times are tough. Defer. I'm going to defer these emotions because they're too fucking much. I have someone in my life who is dealing with the most untenable situation that I think anyone could be dealing with. And he hasn't created legitimate mechanisms for coping with pain. So this is why we see alcoholism. This is why we see drug addiction. This is why we see, you know, unbelievable use of pornography. This is why we see all the things that we see in the world. When you can be with devastation, and no one wants to be with it, no one wants to be with heartbreak, no one wants to be with the losses that happen throughout life. When you can be with them and hold a space for them and hold a space for yourself, or have someone else hold a space for you to break the fuck down, when you can do that over and over and over and over again. And the reason why you would do that over and over and over and over again is because guess what? Life's going to be fucking hard. Life's going to be really fucking hard. And if you can get really good at knowing how to navigate through the hard parts and stand, like, fall apart and stand firm. And, you know, I'll just say this. I had a friend, I don't even know what was happening. I don't know what was happening. I've been going through lots and lots. This is where I've been the last month. The last month is going through the ups and the downs and the turns and the twists and all of the things that I've been experiencing and feeling and processing and working through as I move out, as I get this new place ready, as I take my children and say, here's my home, as I deal with what it comes up with them, as I deal with what comes up in me. It's a lot. Fuck, it's a lot. And there was a day, I remember when it was. I, amidst all of the finding a place, getting all the money for the place and the credit report, I mean, like doing the finding the, I mean, you know, we're talking driving around and looking at places and applying and, you know, I'm an entrepreneur and my income goes like this. And I've had some shitty stuff happen in the last 2 years out of COVID and my credit is fucked. And my husband has been financially supporting me for a good number of years while I build my business. On paper, I'm a mess. On paper, I don't look good. How I got this place, I think was a fucking miracle. I really think it was a miracle. As I'm going through all of this stuff, and this is about the time when things were getting heated with my husband because I was scared about money and then he got scared about money. And then we kind of started to like have some shit between us and it was uncomfortable. This was at the beginning of November. And since about July, I have been planning, me and my sister's daughter, so my niece, have been planning a 50th surprise birthday party for my sister. And all of this stuff was happening at the same time. And it went off awesome. It was great. It happened. I was exhausted emotionally, physically, spiritually, just exhausted. But this, we did this great party for her and we surprised her friends who came in from California and she's sobbing and she was so happy. And we were there for a weekend. That following week, I was in bed for 2 days. I was in bed for 2 days because it had all culminated. It was all kind of coming to a head and occurring all at the same time, right before that, like November, the very beginning of November 1st, end of October, beginning of November, right around the last recording of the Sacredest Fuck podcast, the last episode. So I fell apart. And at first I thought I was getting sick. There's a couple of people at the party, the surprise party, who got sick. And I was like, oh, maybe I'm getting something. I was exhausted. And I could barely get out of bed. So I decided to not get out of bed. I decided to stay in bed. And then I decided to get curious about what was actually occurring. And I asked myself, is this really physical? And then the emotions washed over me. And I sobbed in my bed off and on for 2 days. I could get out of bed. I just chose not to. I knew what was happening was another wave of grief. And I know I'm not done because I'm still alive and I'm still a fucking human being. And I will have grief and I will have to deal with it for the rest of my life, as long as I breathe. And a friend of mine, so I'd been in bed for a day or so, and a friend of mine who I love dearly, I'll just out him here because he's very spiritually connected, and he will reach out to me in times when he's like, I was thinking of you. And I was like, really? Well, really, really good fucking timing, because it's always at a time when either something's going on or I've been thinking about him or I need support. And so he sent me a message, and I posted this on social media. He sent me a message and he said, I love you like a fat kid love cake. And I was in bed and I said, and I just texted back, how do you always know? He said, I got you, babe. And I said, Do you have the space? Can you hold space for me to break down? Is what I said. I sent him a message. Can you hold the space for me to break down? And what was fascinating to me was that I needed a male to hold this space. I could have called on any of my female friends. They're at the drop of a hat. They will support me. I have a fucking phenomenal soul family. And he happened to text me that message. I love you like a fat kid love cake. And I knew that he could hold the space, and he could hold the space as a man, because that's what I needed. I was feeling very, you know, I'm living alone. There's no one here to fix shit. There's no one here to make me feel safe. And I needed to break down, and I needed to be held. I needed the space to be held by a man. And bam, he was right there. This is the universe saying, I got you. When we are on our knees, we are the most fucking supported. We are the most fucking supported if we can just see it that way. 3-3-3-3. So he's like, give me a minute. I'm at the gym. I'm going to run outside. He lives in, I don't fucking know where he is anyway. He's traveling the world. Colombia. He's going to kill me. Monty, I fucking love you. And I heard his voice and I just started sobbing. And that's exactly what I needed to do. I needed that experience with a man to feel held and safe, and listened to and supported and gotten and loved. And he didn't have to say a fucking word. I just sat on the phone and I sobbed for probably a good 2.5, 3.5 minutes. And at one point he said, you're not alone. You're not alone. And I'm not. And neither are you. You are never alone. You're never alone. So I have been in those kinds of spaces. I have been in the space of elation that I can decorate an entire house exactly as I want it, that I can put things where I want, that I can have the lights on the way that I want, that I can. And my husband is the same. And I've been back to his house and he has the music on all day. That's his thing. He has a TV on or whatever. Like he's just, that's his thing. And he couldn't do that with me. And I couldn't have quiet. I love quiet. I love light. I love sound. I love, sorry that I'm not editing it out. Let me just put it that way. Like, just not going to do it. So I have been heartbroken and grief-stricken and awe-inspired and lit the fuck up and free as a bird and scared out of my mind and sad beyond belief and unbelievably excited for what's ahead. That's where I've been. And just doing a whole bunch of fucking shit. A whole bunch of shit to get my home ready. And last week was, like I said, my first, week in my home. And my daughter, my youngest daughter, stayed with me the whole week. And my oldest was over with her dad for most of the week. And this is the first week that we start alternating visitation or whatever. Like, it's my week this week, but we're going to do it in segments so that they are getting to adjust to being away from me and then being away from him and then being away from me. And I'll just share one last thing that, I may cry. I don't want to cry in the Sacred as Fuck podcast, but I may. So I want to say it's Monday night. I want to say it was Saturday night. My youngest is 11. My oldest is 14. And I was 9 when my parents got divorced. So, you know, my youngest is she's my heart on legs. She's emotional. And we relate on that level. I'm like, girl, I feel you. Girl, I feel you. She's my deep, deep, deep emotional, you know, being. And we check in with them. I check in a lot. I try not to beat it up too much, but I knew it was a big transition. I kept asking her, are you sure you don't want to go over to your dad's? No, I want to be here. But I know that because she had told me, she's like, but I feel like it was like, you don't need to feel bad about daddy. You don't need to feel bad about me. Neither one of us, because I already know, she's like, I feel like I have to pick. And if I pick one, the other one's going to be sad. I'm like, this is the fucking thing. Here it is. Here's that heartbreak. Here's that next up heartbreak of now I feel like if I'm with you, he's going to be sad. And if I'm with him, you're going to be sad. So all week, you know, we've been getting the house right. We've been buying shit and getting her room ready and getting my other daughter's room ready and getting the whole house. I mean, like, we're talking putting furniture together. My garage is filled with boxes of furniture and just all of the things, appliances, I mean, everything. And so I'm checking in and she is already, she's a manifester. For those of you who know human design, she's a manifester. So she needs her own, she's also a Gemini. So she needs her own space. She needs her alone time. She definitely needs some, like, she needs to, I can't think of the word right now, but it's like, she needs to decompress. She needs to have her space away from people. And I give her that. And then I'm also checking in, making sure that she's okay. So I'm checking in all week. How are you? Are you okay? You sure you don't want to go to daddy's? Yes, I want to be with you. Okay. So I'm like, are you, you know, I'll ask her periodically, are you sad? No. So I go, okay, well, if you get sad, you just let me know. Okay. It's okay if you're sad. And, I don't even know what I was doing. I don't have my couch yet. I'd order it. It's going to be a couple more weeks. So I have a big old air mattress in my family room, living room, and in front of the TV. And so I'm with the air mattress and sorry guys. Excuse me. Let me put it this way. Excuse me. Okay. We're getting the real shit this episode. But you know what? This is where I'm at. So fucking where I'm at. So she walks in to the family room and I look at her and she lies down and I said, "What's up?" And she burst into tears. And she said, I'm going to cry. Yeah. She said, "I feel like I'm in a nightmare and I can't wake up." And the minute she said it, I just knew. I was like, "Oh my God, I so know that feeling." I mean, it wasn't empathy. I mean, of course it's empathy, but it was memory. I just remembered what that felt like to miss my parent. So it was my dad because my mom moved us, but I just remembered. And I just sat there and I just cried with her. I just cried with her because I get it. I so get it. I felt it. I was like, "Oh my God, I fucking remember. I feel like I'm in a nightmare and I can't wake up." Yeah, that's pretty much how it feels. And we just sobbed. And I held her and she held me. And I said, "I feel you, honey. Let it out. I'm sad too." And she did. And so did I. And we sat there and we cried for a good 5 minutes. And this is the one thing. This is the one thing that I get to work on as well. Part of emotional bypassing, especially as a parent, is we don't get to rush them through to feeling better. I'm telling myself this. We get to hold a powerful space for them to break down. Because the minute that we want to rush their process, they will start to shut it down. The minute that we want to make them feel better because we feel bad that they feel bad, because we feel responsible for their pain, which we may be, and that's for us to sit through. The minute that we start to say, "It's okay," or "It'll all work out," this is emotional gaslighting. We don't do it because we're mean people. We do it because we don't want to see people we love feel bad. And we don't want to feel the guilt that our actions may have imparted or inflicted on the people that we love. So I just sat there with her and I cried with her because I was just as sad as she was. And there have been many moments during this process where I've wept because it's sad. It's sad when a family goes through this. And I'm committed to fucking walking my talk. When I'm in deep shit, deep emotional shit, meaning feeling all the things that I'm feeling and really grief stricken and really heartbroken, I'm going to honor that process that's occurring for me, and I'm not going to go record a podcast episode. I'm not going to go on social media. I'm not going to pretend. Pretending is poison. Pretending that everything is fine when it's not poisons us. allowing ourselves to grieve and to be in whatever emotion we are currently experiencing is a gift. It's a gift we give ourselves and the people that we love. So thank you for witnessing me, for those of you on YouTube. Thank you for witnessing me. So we sobbed together, and I sobbed for the pain that I felt at 9, and I can relate to her on every level. And I sobbed for the ending of our family in this iteration, because that is sad. It is sad that it didn't work out. It is sad that we couldn't, that we chose to go separate paths, that we chose this path. It's sad that our kids now have to have mommy's house and daddy's house. It's sad. So I feel sadness. And I want to be and teach and show and be an example of what it looks like to allow yourself to fall apart, which really falling apart is just, you're feeling your fucking feelings. You're feeling your fucking feelings. So that's where I've been. And y'all got to see, like, you know, my wave. I thought maybe this would happen because I knew I wanted to share this story about my daughter. How it ended is I was sad too, you know? And so I said, what if we walk to daddy's? I'm a 10-minute walk from his house. It's a 2-minute drive at most. And I said, what if we just go walk to daddy's and we just are all four of us together, you know? She's like, yeah, I would like that. So I texted him and I just said, hey, coming over. And, transitions, endings are hard. Endings are hard. Endings make way for beginnings. They're inevitable. The more we can get, like, the more we can wrap our minds and hearts and spirit around endings and having them be like a normal part of life, when life gets hard, do this. Feel your feelings. Feel your feelings. All of them. They are all valid. They're all valid. Now, I did just press pause because I had to blow my nose. I was going to draw the line on that. I'll burp with you guys, but I'm not gonna blow my nose. You're welcome. Feel your feelings. Give yourself the space to fall apart. My friend who's going through this devastating divorce, and anyone who's going through an ending or some sort of heartbreak or grief, allow it. Allow it. And I can tell you that your ability to sit in discomfort and get through it will radically change your fucking life. If you keep deferring heartache or pain or sadness or anger or frustration or anything, if you keep deferring feeling the thing, it will come to such a head that it will be devastating, way more devastating. It's like a volcano. You know, volcanoes have those little, like, psh, they like let the steam out. They're like, psh, ooh, ooh, little. And then there's the big one. There's the massive buildup of this pressure. And sometimes it can destroy us. So I say, let the fucking steam out on a regular basis. Okay. I hope this was beneficial to you listening or watching that you understand where I've been and that, you know, I really, really, I am a student of emotional intelligence. And emotional intelligence, I'm like, what does that mean? You know what? For me, it means honoring the entire emotional wave that a human being can possess. Because when we don't do that, that's when shit breaks down. That's when the buildup of this pressure called our emotions, when we shove it down, it comes out another way. It's going to come out in a different way. You will see it manifest in your life. It will either be physical illness, or it will be, usually a lot of times it's it'll manifest physically. Or it'll be an emotional breakdown, or it'll be I lost all my money, or it'll be I went fucking postal on somebody, or it will be, whatever, fill in the blank. It will come out. Face the shadows, people. Face the shadows. Only love can light the shadow. Like only love and only light can take the shadow away. But you have to go into the shadow to light it up. I don't know if that makes sense, but I wasn't expecting this episode to be so long, but I should have known because it's been a motherfucking month. It's been a month in time, but it's been a motherfucking month. I packed in a lifetime this month. I moved some massive shit. I'm not done yet. FYI, y'all can see and hear, I ain't done yet because I'm in it. Because I'm in it. I love you. It's when I record these episodes, I really do feel like I imagine people listening. I imagine I'm some sort of an audience. I imagine that I'm teaching, that I'm, you know, speaking, at a podium, I'm speaking to people. So just know that you're with me when I record these episodes. Oh, wow. That was amazing. That was amazing. So you're with me when I record these episodes. Thank you so much for listening. If this episode, impacted you in some way, please let me know. Please message me on Instagram, do all the things. It would really make a difference for me. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. It will probably not be this long between my next episode, but it might. We're going into the holidays. I'm going to have some downtime, but I love you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Mwah. I'll see you next time. Bye.